Hello and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. My name is Eric Jensen and I'm joined today by Jonders, my good friend Jonders. And man, I was not excited enough in that intro. Let me try again. Hello and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. I am happy today because it is almost the Super Bowl and I am very excited for the Super Bowl. Are you too excited for the Super Bowl, Jonders?
It's always a bittersweet time of year. It's always a bittersweet time of year, especially when your team's not in it. I remember the last time your team was in it, my team trounced them, but that's not here or there.
That's not true. That's absolutely false. The last time my team was
Oh, yeah, I completely forgot about that. All right, that's fine. Whatever. The point I'm trying to make here is that it's all grand and well. We have the Super Bowl game, and I'm excited. But last game of the year. Last game till September for meaningful football. What are we going to do with ourselves, Eric?
I was told by a very good friend not to be cynical recently. So I'm thinking on...
you creep.
I'm thinking on the bright side of things. This is the best Super Bowl I think that I've ever... In my football history fandom... Yeah, going into, I think this is the best one because I made a pick this morning on like a student radio show I do here. I don't know if I'm going
to
go with that.
How about give your old pal Jonders a link to some of this radio stuff you do? I would like to check it out.
They don't put it up online. It's crazy. I do it with like three other people. Yeah, I know.
That should be your argument to your professor or whomever.
Yeah,
like, hey,
I know.
Hey, person, it's 2020.
Yeah, everything's online. Yeah, I know. But they're just... They're dumb like that.
Is it for the students of the college to listen to?
Yeah, but I don't think anyone actually listens, much like this podcast. So,
do you have the numbers on this podcast?
I don't really number watch.
That'd be my advice too. It's just John Madden used to say, "Don't worry about the horse being blind; just load the wagon."
Yeah, I like doing it. It's fun, you know. We're getting too philosophical. This is not the day to get sidetracked, Jonders. This is the day to talk about football. This is the day to immerse ourselves in this matchup because Jonders.
MRSA, you have MRSA?
I don't know what MRSA is. Please don't take me down a side tangent.
It's an illness, Eric. It's an illness.
Yikes. No, I don't have coronavirus, so that's
okay.
That is a plus.
Can I do a quick ad and then we will get to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, do it. We're sponsored by.
Well, I'm selling an unopened 7-inch 45 record of. It's a reissue of the Super Mario soundtrack. It's never been opened. It comes with a poster and stickers. I'm looking to get $300 for this. So if anybody wants this. 45 of the original Mario soundtrack, hit me up on Twitter at JondersFPT.
Jonders has nerd shit he wants to sell you.
Yes.
That's the bottom line here. I would not pay $300 for that, but I'm sure there's someone that would.
Oh, it's a limited pressing. There's only 500 of these made, and from what I can tell online, this is the only one on sale that is unopened.
Yikes. Wow. So if you live in your mom's basement, hit up Jonders.
And have an extra $300 or, you know, or OBO, as they say, or best offer.
Or best offer. All right. So this morning, right, I fell asleep at like 7:30 last night. I don't know why. But I honestly like that pattern. I'm hoping to fall asleep at 7:30 again tomorrow night because I have to go to work really early tomorrow morning. But I woke up at like 3 a.m. Mountain Daylight Time today and could not decide who I thought would win the Super Bowl. So I watched the past like six Super Bowls on Game Pass in condensed version. By the way, they don't have those on the Xbox app. They don't have, you can't go back years until the off season, I don't think. So I had to do it on my computer. It was no big deal on my phone. But I was trying to figure out the formula for a Super Bowl winning team. And maybe we can get to this later. But if you had to guess, Jonders, what do you think the formula is for a Super Bowl winning team? What would you say that most of these past six champions have in common?
Well, half of them have had Tom Brady.
Okay. That is a good denoter.
Are we living? No. So one of them had Russell Wilson. I think you need a quarterback, and I think you can get away with not having a quarterback if your defense is historic. And then what do you think did it for the Eagles? Because I think I think
there you can point to quarterback.
Yeah, Nick Foles was just on a magical run. I mean, maybe, I know it's like the biggest cliche in sports, magical
right?
Run,
and maybe it's not forever, but if your quarterback plays out of his mind for one game. Yeah,
it's like the Eli Manning, Joe Flacco clause. Like if you can get a quarterback that's hot for 3 weeks.
Yeah, a hot quarterback will do it for you. So so that was point one. So maybe we'll get back to that later. Point two and the actual starting point. I would say this Super Bowl, I know we did a Super Bowl storylines podcast, but I would say of all Super Bowls, this Super Bowl lacks storylines a little bit, just a little bit. Like there aren't more than one or two good ones. And I would say that's a good thing because I think the on-field product speaks for itself. Would you
agree? Do you want to go through those? So there's Katie Sowers, there's Tyrann Mathieu, kind of redemption story. There's been less Tyreek Hill stuff, a lot less Tyreek Hill stuff than I thought there was going to be. I thought the
Yeah, me too. I thought they were going to talk about how he was a monster. But I mean,
yeah, no, me too. Like, I honestly, like, I'm surprised that we haven't gotten inundated with more of that. There's a little bit of a bubbling of, you know, run game, the 49ers, and it's old school, blah, blah, blah. And the validity of that, you know, is more or less true. Yeah, but you're right. There's not a lot to go on.
Yeah, I think that speaks to a good Super Bowl. So I want to attack this as far as kind of matchups go. So I want to start with when the 49ers are on the field. I want to emphasize
their offense is on the field.
Right. When I say, here's one thing that I learned from this morning. When I say offensive line, I mean everything that comes from offensive line. I mean scheme, everything like that.
And blocking tight ends, you want to throw in there?
Yeah, no? blocking tight ends, I guess we can throw in there. So I think one of the most interesting matchups to watch is going to be the 49ers offensive line versus the Chiefs defensive line, because I think Frank Clark has been spectacular this playoff run. Chris Jones is probably one of the best edge rushers / defensive tackles, right? Like, it's a large gap, but he's like number two, I would say, under Aaron Donald. And then, but at the same time, I feel like the offensive line for San Francisco is just like flying way under the radar and might be like one of the best offensive lines we've ever seen coming into a Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's kind of hard for me off the top of my head to think of better offensive lines. Joe Staley's a little bit younger than I thought he was. He's only 35. I just Googled it. I thought he'd be a little bit older. I'm interested to see what Frank Clark could do because it seems like he really hit his stride in the postseason, like you said. Does Terrell Suggs maybe have a swan song of a game? Can he go out on top? I mean, there's nothing that indicates that that will happen, but, you know, I don't know. Why not? Mike Person, like I said on the last podcast, not a real person, is an AI or some sort that was put in there to fool Football America. I don't know. I feel like I didn't answer your question.
You know, the 49ers offensive line versus the Chiefs defensive line, who do you think has the advantage here?
Well, I think the edge goes to Kyle Shanahan's scheme more so than the offensive line.
I would agree.
So, I mean, all the different stunts and powers and zones and all the different kind of running schemes that they run, it really makes your defensive lineman have to think on every snap. And so I think the scheme wins out. So the 49ers offensive line.
Right. Chiefs linebackers versus tight ends in coverage, and I would say blocking. George Kittle, of course, we know he's a freak of nature. He's an all-pro, might be the best tight end in the game. I would not sleep on the Chiefs.
Reggie Ragland?
I wouldn't sleep on the Chiefs linebackers. I like Reggie Ragland, and I like Anthony Hitchens, and I think they use Daniel Sorensen more as a linebacker than they do a safety. And I think Daniel Sorensen, while not fast, is a particularly good tackling safety / linebacker. And then I think the X factor in all of this is where they play Tyrann Mathieu in this game because I honestly think they're going to play him at linebacker. I don't think they're going to put him at safety much. I think they're going to try to use him to stop the run.
Well, I think if the Chiefs were to win and Patrick Mahomes was not the MVP, there's only one person that could be the MVP, and it's Tyrann Mathieu. So I do think it's smart of you to kind of highlight that player and kind of think about where he's going to go because, you know, is he a corner in dime packages? Is he a linebacker in nickel? You know, where is he going to line up? And I think that will really put Jimmy Garoppolo to the test. So I know you're talking about linebackers, but I think the big X factor here on defense is where Tyrann Mathieu goes. So I think if we're just saying Tyrann Mathieu's not a part of the linebackers, Kittle is obviously just superhuman, blah, 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 blah. And obviously, you know, you tilts everything in their favor. But if you want to jump now to the Tyrann Mathieu in the secondary versus these wide receivers, I have nothing bad to say against Samuel and Sanders. But I'm enamored with Tyrann Mathieu more and more, especially in these past 2 weeks.
Yeah, he's a really interesting player to watch just because of what he can do. And you're right. He has had like a career resurgence. He was this guy earlier in his career, but it seems like injury kind of took him out. When he was in Arizona, he was this guy. I don't think he was ever this guy in Houston. I think that's partly why Houston let him go. He was just never that dominant kind of safety slash pass rush slash corner slash linebacker. But that is what he is right now. So
I failed to bring this up on the last episode, but you know, going back, we all remember that Patrick Peterson was integral to the Cardinals drafting Tyrann Mathieu, and Patrick Peterson, his old LSU teammate, really stuck his neck out for Tyrann and said, you know, even though he has the sketchy pass with the marijuana ball, I mean, who cares about marijuana? But that's a whole different thing. But you know, he thanked Patrick Peterson on the podium. You know, he said, I'm not here without Patrick Peterson. I think that's kind of the mindset that he has, and you know, remembering all the people that helped get him where he was, because he also talked about how he wouldn't change a thing, even though he regrets a lot of the decisions he's made. He wouldn't change a thing because it led him to right there. I mean, so I think he's playing with a clear head, and I'm very excited to watch him play on Sunday.
You've been way more plugged into this media stuff than I have, and that's a credit to you, but those quotes make me just love the guy as a player even more. I really hope he has a good game. And I think you're right. I think for the Chiefs, for the Niners, you could point to like a lot of different pieces that could be Super Bowl but MVP. But I think you're right. For the Chiefs, it could be two. It'd be Patrick Mahomes or Tyrann Mathieu.
Honey Badger. I'm just glad he's out of the NFC West. I love that he's out of the NFC West. That's all I care about.
Right. Which brings up here an interesting point on Honey Badger. And to the point that I think the Chiefs defense is going to go into, I know nothing about coaching. We both know that we know nothing about coaching. But if I were Andy Reid, if I were Steve Spagnuolo, I think the Chiefs are going to dare Jimmy G to beat them. And I think that's their game plan. I do really think they're going to stack the box again.
This is what I was messaging you about earlier when I was talking about – I mean, I don't remember verbatim what I said, but I think that's exactly what they're going to do. They're going to try to get the 49ers and Kyle Shanahan into an aerial attack. And I think there's two folds to this. One, I think that Kyle Shanahan is preparing for the boat race or whatever, the run and gun down the field, because – I think it was on your podcast that I brought this game up a couple weeks ago about the 2008 Miami Dolphins-Colts Monday Night Football game where the Colts held the ball for only 14 minutes and 59 seconds, and they still won that game because they scored on every single possession. You can limit Patrick Mahomes all you want. You can have him the point is that Patrick Mahomes is going to score on every possession. So if you're running and taking down the clock, it doesn't matter. So that's why they need to get into this shootout. And Kyle Shanahan's smart enough to know this. So that's why, because I mean, like I just said, Patrick Mahomes is going to score on every single possession. That's why Kyle Shanahan knows it has to be a shootout, because you can't just sit on the ball and kill it.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent point to make. And I think that with all that being said, it does behoove us to put the 49ers, the Chiefs, cornerbacks versus the 49ers wide receivers kind of under a microscope here. And I'll be honest with you, this morning on my show, the only Chiefs cornerback I could name was Breshad Breeland. And I feel like that's kind of the way it's been. Like, Brashab Breeland has had an excellent campaign. It really started in that New England game for him. That New England game, he shut down Julian Edelman and basically took away every single one of the Patriots' receiving weapons, which was at the time only Julian Edelman.
Yeah.
But outside of that, like, they have, like, Orlando Scandrick playing beside him. Orlando Scandrick, no offense to him, like, he is not a top-level NFL cornerback. He's, I would argue, he's regressed over the past few years.
Yeah, I agree.
So, I do think that there's a shot that Deebo Samuel and Emmanuel Sanders just dominate the corners, which opens up a question. And you've watched Jimmy G a lot. I watched Jimmy G a lot, but I think you've watched more Jimmy G than me. Jimmy G, I found a really interesting statistic this morning. He is the number one ranked deep passer in the NFL, yet he has only thrown the 29th most deep balls of any passer in the NFL. So he doesn't really go deep. Am I right to be skeptical that he can go deep on a defense? Like, I feel like he made some nice throws against the Bengals in that week 2 game that stand out to me. But that, to me, that's like the only time this year I've seen Jimmy G like legitimately go deep down the field.
Yeah, so the 49ers have a play-action offense predicated on yak. So their system doesn't work unless the receivers can get yards after catch, which is why, you know, Samuels and Sanders have been doing so well because they're both great at yards after the catch. But if you want somebody to just throw deep, Jimmy G's not your guy. I don't know if that scheme – I don't know what it is, but if you look at the NFL next, I mean, you just said it, but like every week I look at the NFL next gen stuff and look at who's throwing where on the field and where their targets are. And but with Jimmy G, it's always within the 20 yard line. It's never past it. So I was unaware that he did so well when he did throw downfield. But I think when you're playing a smart player like Tyrann Mathieu, I don't think you're going to get those opportunities.
Part of that, Britt, wants me, brings me to bring up my latest pinned tweet. I like to have a quote in there occasionally from our good friend Chris Wessling, who wrote an excellent piece on the Super Bowl. As I pull up my Twitter profile, I want to give
people... saw that he called you E. That was pretty cool.
I mean, I think he calls me anytime I tweet him.
Oh, he calls you E all the time? That's
yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, that's nice, I guess.
Nice little nickname from Chris Wessling.
Yep. Super Bowl 50. It is Super Bowl 54, right? 54 favors the bold, the tie that binds the Chiefs and 49ers together. He ends it with a really nice quote that reads, "You don't make history throwing short of the sticks." And I just, to me, Jimmy G doesn't throw short of the sticks, but he's like, he's not what Patrick Mahomes is. And that is one part of this matchup that kind of concerns me for the Niners.
I mean, yeah, I completely agree. Can I just tip my pick now? Because I'm sick of kind of pussyfooting around it. And I think everything I've been saying has kind of been tipping it anyways.
All right, who's your pick? Because I made a pick this morning, but by the time we're done talking, it might change.
I would take the Chiefs by at least 10. Like, I don't think it's going to be close. Wow. I think Patrick Mahomes is going to lay a bomb down on the field. Tom Brady's old, Drew Brees is old, Phil Rivers – Big Ben Roethlisberger. I'm not letting Russell Wilson or Lamar Jackson take this thing. I'm going to go show you what I can do in the biggest stage, and you will all be regretting. I don't know. You'll all regret not drafting me. Patrick Mahomes is now the guy in the NFL, and he's going to lay a bomb.
All right. That takes us over to the Chiefs. The Niners, I do think, have – when the Niners' offense is on the field – I honestly feel like they have the biggest advantage, though, in this game. Because I'm not sure the linebackers are good enough to stop a run. And I'm not sure anyone on that team is good enough to stop a run. That would be my point. I think they are going
the
to
Chiefs
try.
Can't stop the run?
Yeah, I think they are going to
the
try
game, but
really
stop,
hard.
The stop, but this, what is it, the boxing phrase, that fight or styles make fights?
Right.
It doesn't matter that they can't stop the run, because you can't sit on the ball and play. You can't be conservative and run the ball. You need to keep up with Patrick Mahomes. That's why they're going to be forced into a shootout. The 49ers, I am sure that Kyle Shanahan knew that when he saw he was playing the Chiefs, or probably he probably was thinking about this for a month because they're the NFC one seed. He knew if – or not – yeah, so he was trying to list all the different AFC possible players that he could play in the Super Bowl. He knew that you cannot be conservative in the Super Bowl. You know, he brought that up. He learned his lesson, right, when he was the OC for the Falcons, and that you can't just sit there and let the all-time great quarterback, which Patrick Mahomes is, and, you know, whatever, maybe I'm early, I don't care, but – you can't just sit back and let the game happen. You need to be aggressive and take the game. And running the ball might be successful, but it's going to take too much time off the clock, and you're not going to score every single time you have the ball. And Patrick Mahomes is. Right. You need to go out there and take the game by the throat. Step on the Chiefs' throat.
Yeah. I think – you don't think they can do that by running the ball? I think they could. I think there is a scenario where it plays out that they could.
Patrick Mahomes is too good. Like, I brought this game up. I keep bringing this game up of Peyton Manning only getting the ball for 14 minutes and 49 seconds on Monday Night Football against the Dolphins in 08. I don't care how few possessions you limit Patrick Mahomes to, he's going to score. You can't run the ball in this game.
Yeah. I disagree. I think they're going to try to run the ball. Maybe it's not the smartest idea. I agree. But I really do think they're going to try to run it at first. That's kind of what I see happening. And eventually...
It's an avalanche, though. We've saw it twice now in Chiefs games where the other team gets up, run the ball.
It's their
identity. And then Patrick Mahomes,
I just feel
avalanche.
Like it's their identity, though.
So, great. Like, okay. I mean, I'm not arguing with you because you said you agree with me that it might not be the smartest thing. But... to further this conversation, like, what if the 49ers are up 14-0 at the end of the first quarter, and then Patrick Mahomes gets going, and then at the end of the half, it's 24-21.
Right. Well,
and Monsoon's not going to stop in the second half. Patrick Mahomes is going to keep scoring.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's a fair point. So I did want to just lay down what I see as all the positives for the Niners before we got to the Chiefs, because. All that being said, and I do really heavily believe in Kyle Shanahan's running scheme and the fact that if they get into a yards after catch kind of offense that beats Breland, and there's no safety over the top because Tyrann Mathieu is down there to keep him from running the ball, then I think that is conducive to a game that Jimmy G can be successful passing the ball in. Not necessarily winning, but successful passing the ball in. But that all said, to the Chiefs, I think the Chiefs tight end and slot receivers, for as good as the Niners linebackers looked in that NFC Championship game, I think they are going to get killed over the middle. I think Travis Kelce is going to dominate this game, and I think DeMarcus Robinson is going to have a huge game because the Niners play this zone, and you know me, Jonders, I'm not a huge scheme guy, but from talking to a bunch of Niners fans, a bunch of Niners analysts throughout the week on Twitter and things like that, they run a zone. The teams that the Chiefs have carved up all year have been zones. It happened to the Raiders, who ran a zone, the Titans, who ran a zone twice. Even in that loss, Patrick Mahomes had 436 yards. The Bears, who run a zone, the Chargers, who run a zone, the Broncos, who run a zone. I get that the Niners are more talented defensively than some of those teams, but I just don't think Fred Warner and Dre Greenwald are built to keep up with speed. They are built to keep people out of the end zone at the goal line, like Dre Greenwald does so well, and they are built to stop the crossing routes over the middle. They are not built to send to beat the guys who are streaking up the seams. I just feel like that's where the mismatch is in this game for the Chiefs' defense against for the Chiefs' offense against the Niners' defense.
Well, okay.
What's up?
I think I just got, I was just got a little confused by something you said. No worries.
No. Please ask. If I tripped over myself, I want to.
No, you're fine. Because you were saying that the 49ers offense against the Chiefs zone is going to do well.
Oh no, sorry. I mixed up the teams. The
Chiefs offense against Warner and Greenwald, and then my brain just like short circuited, and I don't know.
Yeah, I think the Chiefs offense has the decided advantage over the 49ers defense.
Okay, yeah, and then to speak to that more, I love Richard Sherman. I think I've probably been one of the most pro Richard Sherman people on the internet for the last 10 years. That being said, there's no stopping Tyreek Hill running in a straight line.
And honestly, Mecole Hardman, too. I don't think I looked at their schedule, Jonders. I would argue that Richard Sherman this year, and I want to pull up their schedule again so I have examples. I would argue that Richard Sherman this year has not played a true speed wide receiver. I think he has played a bunch of possession wide receivers that he's been able to shut down. Devontae Adams, I would argue he's a possession wide receiver.
Yeah, more like, of a route running guy than a speedster, yeah.
Right. Michael Thomas, a guy who can be a speedster,
but more of a route runner.
But more of a route runner. And in that case, Richard Sherman got burnt in that New Orleans game in that shootout several times. You look at the Rams, they're like maybe Cooper Kupp, but he doesn't have the same speed as
Tyreek Hill. Yeah, I mean, nobody does.
Yeah, they just – maybe Tyler Lockett is the closest thing they played, and they struggled keeping Tyler Lockett in check.
And he left that first game early and hasn't really been the same player since he left that first game.
Right. I just feel like Richard – to your point, I think Richard Sherman's mismatched in this game.
Ooh, that's his classic thing. When the Seahawks were playing the 49ers, they said it's supposed to be a matchup. Mismatch. The classic NFL films thing.
Yeah. I know. I watch NFL films occasionally. So that was my main point there. Do you have – I feel like we should give the Chiefs offense kind of more of their due. Because we spent a lot of time on the Niners offense.
Yeah, let's move on to them. Watkins is super interesting to me, right?
Mm.
And do they give Sherman Watkins the whole time, or what are they going to do? Because Sherman moved, I think it was, I had the number written down somewhere because I was tracking Sherman moving because he did move early on in the NFC Championship game, but I think it was just to mess with the Packers because he moved with Adams in the first quarter, but then he stopped. So are they going to do something similar where Sherman tracks Watkins or they put – I don't know. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with Watkins. I wonder – you know what's the people don't talk about with the Chiefs is that I think their offensive line is better than they get credit for. They're not the 49ers offensive line, but Jeff Schwartz is coming off of probably his best year ever. I mean, clearly his best year ever. And Eric Fisher, the number one draft pick from a few years ago, is, you know, nothing to shake a stick at. I'm just kind of rambling now.
Yeah, no, I get it. Sammy Watkins is really interesting to me because he's the one guy I feel like the 49ers can match up on. Because he doesn't really have that burner speed, I would argue, that some of the rest of the Chiefs wide receivers do.
Yeah, so that's kind of what I'm saying. Do you put Sammy Watkins out wide and then put Tyreek Hill and Mecole Hardman in the slot on the other side and then, right?
Right. Yeah, because I think
you're kind of sacrificing Sammy Watkins for the greater good of the speedsters on the other side of the field.
I mean, yeah, if I had to scheme it up, that's what I do because, right, you try to lock in Sammy Watkins with Richard Sherman because even though Richard Sherman's going to take Sammy Watkins over the entire game, Patrick Mahomes is never going to be looking for Sammy Watkins. He's always going to be like his third or fourth read. And if you can somehow get Sammy Watkins matched up on Richard Sherman so Richard Sherman is focused on Sammy Watkins, then that is the matchup that you kind of want to exploit, I would say.
Yeah.
The Wow, we've said a lot about this game in a pretty short amount of time. What else do you want to talk about here? I don't want to quite get – I know you've given your picks, but I don't want to quite get to that yet. I kind of want that to wrap up the show. What else do you want to talk about with this game? Because there is more.
Is there, man? I don't know.
Really?
Bosa can put a cap on his Rookie of the Year campaign, but I kind of think Bosa's a gross person off the field, so I really don't care. Jaron Armstead is kind of the underrated guy in that. Or is it Forrest Buckner or Armstead who's the underrated guy?
It's Eric Armstead.
Eric Armstead?
Yeah.
It's hard to give everybody their credit because there's so many good people on that on that defensive line.
Yeah, let's talk about that because do you think that the defensive line is going to give Patrick Mahomes any problems?
No, because I think the Chiefs' offensive line is better than people think. Also, Patrick Mahomes is mobile. And, you know, they didn't get to Russell Wilson a lot in their two games. And I think Patrick Mahomes can slip out of any bad situation.
A stat from Chris Mad Dog Russo. Within like 2.4 seconds of pass rush, Patrick Mahomes' passer rating is 120.
That's pretty good.
It's like crazy. So if you rush him, he's actually better.
It's not fair. It's a cheat code, man.
I have a thing for you that you might kind of disagree with. I was watching a little bit of Russell Wilson in that Super Bowl this morning, and it made me think. To me...
Which Super Bowl? 8 or 9?
9. Okay. To me, it seems like I think Patrick Mahomes doesn't get the credit he deserves for elusivity because he doesn't do it with any flair. Like, you know, Russell Wilson has the patented spin out where he plants that leg and kind of spins out of air, or he'll just kind of hook out. Patrick Mahomes, it is so weird the way he evades pressure. It seems like he can take like one or two steps and get out of the way, but I would argue he is almost better at evading pressure than Russell Wilson is. Or at least on the same level, or 1A or 1B.
The offensive lines are completely different situations, so kind of hard to evaluate that. Because, like, Russell Wilson just – it's like he's at war every time he drops back.
Yeah, he is forced to spin out. That is true. I never considered that.
But I'm not going to slander Patrick Mahomes. I'm fine with saying it's 1A or tied or whatever you want to say. The thing about Patrick Mahomes is that – and this is another sports cliche, but he makes everything look so effortless. You know, it's so easy. But I do think the narrative that you're talking about is going to change a little bit. If he can have another breakaway play like he did on the AFC Championship game where he's spinning around and falling into the end zone, if he has one of those on Sunday, then we'll start talking about his elusivity. And is elusivity a word? Did you just come up with that?
It's a word to me.
It's elusiveness.
Oh.
Elusivity. I'm going to start saying elusivity, though.
I think elusivity works better.
I didn't want to sound like an idiot. I just whatever you said, you know, I'll pick it up. I'll start saying it too. But the opposite thing is, like, I'm not saying like Jimmy Garoppolo is a statue, but he's more Peyton Manning than he is Russell Wilson, right?
Right. I would say that.
I don't think he has the feet that Tom Brady and Drew Brees have, right? The little, because they could do that little step forward, that little step to the right, and I don't see Jimmy Garoppolo being able to do that.
Oh, did you see that earlier this morning? I am kind of falling in love with Patrick Mahomes this entire week as he might.
But Patrick Mahomes does more of that stuff than the Russell Wilson stuff, where it's the Tom Brady one step forward. It's the
right. Yeah, yeah. I would agree. I'd compare his movement to. That's a great point. I was actually thinking about that too. He is very similar to Tom Brady, like 2 years ago when Tom Brady could move in the pocket.
Man, if Patrick Mahomes has Brett Favre's arm, Tom Brady's pocket awareness, or Peyton Manning's study, you know, work ethic. I mean, just wrap it up. Give him the next 5.
Yeah. I loved this from this morning. Sam Farner of the LA Times. Bruce Arians said Patrick Mahomes is one of the 4 smartest players he's ever seen on the board, up there with Peyton and Andrew Luck. That's like...
I like quotes like that because Bruce Arians has no reason to say that. He's not gaining anything by saying that. So I always like it when it's somebody like that where it's not, you know, Andy Reid or, you know, whomever. It's, you know, I mean, Bruce Arians has no reason to say it. I totally believe it. You can see it the way he plays. Man, I'm just – can we say a prayer to the football gods thanking them for not taking away Patrick Mahomes in week four, whatever that Thursday night game was?
Yeah, I was thinking about that this morning too. It is crazy how much the Chiefs have been through this year.
Like, yeah, I mean, it's going to make for a great America's game? It's going to make for a great America's game.
There was a moment in, like, week four during that game where we were all like, oh, man, football sucks because Patrick Mahomes is done for the year. Yeah. There were a solid 2 days where everyone was like, yeah, he's not going to play this year. That is
– How many weeks did he miss? Two?
Yeah, it is crazy.
And then he kind of was on one leg for, like, the next 3 weeks, and now he's Patrick Mahomes again.
Even in the game
he
came back, it was 436 yards against the Titans. And he missed plays. He missed, like, 7 to 8 plays in that game. It is crazy just how good he is. And, I mean, I'm not worried about the knee anymore. I stopped being worried about the knee when he
– I forgot about it.
When that 21-yard run happened for the touchdown last week. I was a little bit concerned up to then, but when that happened, I was like, oh, yeah, he's totally healthy. Like, there is no concern to me about the knee at all.
Let's pick the game. Let's get out of here. I think we've done everything. Is there anything else you want to say?
Takeaways from watching other Super Bowls. I know that I've been harsh on Pete Carroll recently. I think Pete Carroll's coaching life changed forever in Super Bowl 49.
Real quick, he throws that he calls for that throw against Chris Matthews when everybody was saying that you should kick a field goal and get out of the second half, right? So they go for it at the end of the second half, and then they go for the aggressive play at the end of the game. But it's the same mindset. The same mindset that have them be in the game is also what took them out of the game. So, you know, it's you're damned if you do, if you're damned if you don't, but you need to play with one mindset. And maybe you're right. Maybe that has made him less aggressive.
Yeah, I just feel like because in that game, you're right. Like, he went for it on fourth down several times. Like, there was – and, I mean, honestly, it is weird to think that Malcolm Butler – and I know you don't want to think about this – Malcolm Butler drastically changed the course of Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll's career. If Pete Carroll keeps – and I'm not saying this will happen. If Pete Carroll –
I don't know about Russell Wilson's career, but maybe Pete Carroll's.
Well, if Pete Carroll stays on this road and they stick with Pete Carroll for another 3 years, that's 3 years of Russell Wilson's prime wasted.
I don't know. Wasted's pretty harsh. I mean, they're still going to the playoffs pretty much every year but one.
Right. I mean, that's true. I just expect a lot from Russell. Maybe I expect too much from Russell Wilson.
I think it's his career has been better than Aaron Rodgers' career, right? And I think that's
– I can't argue with that.
So, because I think we're 3 or 4 years away from start talking about wasting Russell Wilson. I don't think – I'm not there yet. But can we talk about that drive that Russell Wilson had to put them in the 4-yard line?
Yeah. It was insane.
Amazing. Yeah.
It was insane.
I remember people texting me while that was happening, like, oh, no, like, the game's almost over and blah, blah, blah. I was like, this is exactly what I want.
It is insane. It is insane Jermaine Kearse made that catch.
Yeah. But there's also a really great Marshawn Lynch receiving play in that drive, too.
Yeah. Like, it sucks that they lost that game because that last drive, you're right, is, like, the defining Russell Wilson drive, I think.
Yep.
And it sucks it had to end the way it did. But, like, if he scores a touchdown there, people are like, oh, yeah, he's the best quarterback in football three years ago.
Yeah. But, it took a while. But now people are starting to say that Russell Wilson, if you project – he's definitely a Hall of Famer. So if you project him playing for another 3 years, he's a Hall of Famer. But you're right. The narrative would have changed on that moment. Because to come back from Aaron Rodgers with that big deficit and then to do it to Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. Also – the way we look at the Legion of Boom would be completely different. To go back-to-back, Colin Kaepernick, who at the time was this revolutionary figure, to beat him in the NFC Championship game, then to beat Peyton Manning in the highest-scoring offense of all time in the Super Bowl, then to do it to Aaron Rodgers in the Championship game, and then Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. I mean, the way we look at the Legion of Boom would be the 85 Bears, the 2000 Ravens.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I completely agree. Yeah, I mean, you've already made your pick.
Yeah, I want to officially say that it's Chiefs 49, 49ers 28.
That is crazy. See, I think there is no way the 49ers get blown out. I think
the bigger the margin in which the Chiefs win, the more I know about football.
Okay. I guess that's fair.
I really wanted to tweet that before Super Bowl 48, but I got cold feet. So now I'm doing it for this one.
I just don't see it being a blowout for a
Dude, could you imagine? I really wanted to lay it down and say, the more the Seahawks beat the Broncos by, the more I know about football. But I got cold feet and didn't tweet that out.
Yeah. Yeah, and that would have been a good tweet. That was the one I stopped at, by the way. I got back, and eventually I got to that one, and I was like, no, I'm not going to watch that.
I probably would have skipped 49 and gone straight to 48.
Right. yeah, I think the Chiefs win. I do think this is
– What's your final?
You're going to say you're crazy, Eric. But I think Jimmy G is going to keep up. I think it's 49-45.
You're crazy, Eric.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. It's just what you told me to say. So.
No, I think Jimmy G is going to – like, they're going to go with that short passing kind of yards after catch game. And I think
that's been their offense all year.
Right. And I think if they can keep – the Chiefs honest and keep Tyrann Mathieu in the box, which I think they'll be able to do successfully by running the ball successfully a little bit early. I think it's going to be back and forth. And I think it's the last person who gets the ball wins. And I think it's
– I would rather watch the 49-45 game than the 49-28 game. So,
yeah. Like,
I hope you're right.
I just think Patrick Mahomes in that case obviously has to be the MVP. I think but would I be shocked if that score was flipped and the Niners won? No. I really wouldn't. I think this is such a toss up but I'm going with the Kansas City Chiefs. So that is kind of what I'm thinking. And man,
into it.
I'm ready for the Super Bowl. I'm gonna put together a little. I have to work during the Super Bowl, but I'm gonna buy some chips and dip.
You're working at the radio station?
Yeah.
Brag.
Not really. I mean, it's I gotta tell you this. The only part I don't like is the radio, and maybe I do like this. The radio call and the TV are always delayed, so I get the radio call first before I see the play on the TV. It's always a play behind, so that's really interesting to watch because it changes the way I watch when I'm there. I have to focus harder on the TV because I usually just listen, and then when something big happens, I look at the TV. But yeah,
since I switched over to Sling. Sling is slower than Twitter, so people will watch it however they're watching it, react on Twitter. I'll read it and then see it on TV, so I can't keep refreshing. I have to kind of give myself some time.
Right. So are you doing anything fun for the Super Bowl party, anything like
that? I've one or two friends coming over. We'll drink or we'll eat some chicken wings, drink some sodas.
All right,
the gay old time.
Well, that's wonderful. Johnners, I just want to remind you after a sad week, I have had the realization that I need to have more fun. This is fun. I like podcasting. Sports are fun. I like watching football. I am so excited to watch the Super Bowl. I'm actually going to get to record the podcast from a radio station.
Ooh.
Another Brad.
Who's the guest?
Chris. I'm going to have Chris call in.
And wow.
Yeah. Obviously we won't be over the air, but it'll be like in a professional studio.
Westlake's gonna call in?
No.
From Miami?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. Sorry. Other Chris. Chris Castan.
Okay, yeah. Your buddy.
The second most
had. Don't do that. Okay.
The second most.
Sounds like fun. Let's get out of here. What are we doing? It's like pulling teeth. Get out of here. What are you doing?
All right.
We're wrapping up in 15 minutes.
I'm going to finish up with a different sign-off. I love football. See y'all Super Bowl night. I love football.
It's like a...
Follow us on Twitter at EndZonePod. If you have any suggestions, questions, or you just want to shout out on the pod, send an email to endzonepod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. See you next time.